Welcome to the Purpose Inspired podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Visser, and this season is based on my book, Thriving, the Breakthrough Movement to Regenerate Nature, Society, and the Economy. Let's get to it. Chaos points and decision windows. When I deliver lectures or programs, I often introduce the key concept of decision windows. In complex living systems, big disturbances lead to either breakdown or breakthrough. In social systems, there is always a decision window when our actions make a big difference in determining the outcome. This is one of the findings of chaos theory, the so-called butterfly effect, which was inadvertently discovered in the 1960s by the meteorologist Edward Lorenz. After building a simple weather forecasting model with three coupled nonlinear equations, he found that the final outcomes were highly sensitive to initial conditions. Tiny variations at the start would produce vastly different weather patterns at the end. Despite the complex mathematics that have developed as a result of his experiment, chaos theory has been distilled into a simple meme. The metaphor of a butterfly flapping its wings and causing a hurricane on the other side of the world. That's why decision windows matter, and they do not last forever. Eventually, a disturbed system will reach what system scientist Irvin Laszlo calls a chaos point, when nothing we do will affect the outcome anymore. Why is that? I know it sounds very fatalistic, but this is a science-based conclusion. It is what happens with reinforcing feedback loops, which turn into vicious cycles of exponential growth. To illustrate the effect, consider the melting of permafrost, which is frozen soil in northern countries. As the global temperature goes up and the permafrost melts, vegetation trapped in the soil begins to decay and emits methane, a powerful greenhouse gas, which in turn results in more global warming. This is why we need to act now, because many of the decision windows are closing. All this talk of breakdown and closing decision windows can be rather dispiriting. Fear not, even though we face multiple forces of breakdown, we can still take something positive from our global situation. In fact, they may just be what we need to kickstart our revolution towards thriving. It's time to take a deep breath, relax, and reflect a little. Let me tell you a story. Every day, a woman fetches water from a river in two buckets, each suspended on the end of a wooden pole across her shoulders. One day, she overhears the buckets talking. "I am old and leaky," says one. "I fear I will be replaced." So the woman asks the rickety bucket, "What do you see on your daily journey?" "When I'm empty on the way there," the bucket replies, "I see only barren ground." "And on the way back, when you're full?" she asks. "Then I see beautiful wild flowers." She nods and smiles. "Your leaking drops of water made that beauty possible." The moral of the story is that even when things seem bad, when everything is going wrong, some good can still come of it. The six shifts. The six forces of breakdown are in fact triggers for transformation, leading directly to the six counterforces of breakthrough: restoration, renewal, responsibility, revitalization, rewiring, and resilience. We will be looking at the progress and innovations happening in each transformation area before reflecting on how thriving can be integrated into organizations and what kind of leadership is required to make the changes happen. The six shifts are how we put systems thinking into practice. They are the way we divert the breakdown of complex living systems onto pathways for thriving. But we do not embark on this journey empty-handed. We bring a wealth of experience in turning crises of breakdown into opportunities for breakthrough, not least because that has been the story of the past years. COVID-19 has affected all our lives in one way or another. Collectively, the world has been through the fire, and like tempered steel, emerged stronger as a result. As the saying goes, we should never let a good crisis go to waste. This ubiquitous proverb, variously ascribed to Winston Churchill, Rahm Emanuel, and others, could never be more apt than today. So before we dive into the refreshing waters of regenerative solutions, let us pause and ask ourselves, what can we learn from the global pandemic? Are there lessons in systems thinking that we can take with us into our exploration of the transformation pathways? I have identified 10 COVID-19 lessons, although I'm sure you can think of more. Lessons in systems thinking from COVID-19. Lesson 1. Don't panic. These are the words on the cover of Douglas Adams' science fiction book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's advice we should all heed when a crisis wreaks havoc with our lives. Put another way, keep calm and carry on. That meme comes from a 1939 British government poster during the lead-up to World War II. During any crisis, we are fighting an emotional war, and the ensuing weeks and months require level heads, but also open hearts. Panic inevitably leads to bad choices, so whatever the crisis, let's not panic. Lesson 2. Get local. When the world out there seems to be swirling out of control, it helps to zone in on your own world, right here. How is your home, your family, your garden? How are your friends? Notice the simple things, the spring flowers or the fall leaves, the reliable postman or the chatty shopkeeper, the tail-wagging dog or the curled-up cat. When you focus on what's right in front of you or immediately around you, you gain perspective. It becomes clearer what needs doing. You take back power. Anxiety goes down. You are grateful for simple pleasures and small blessings. Lesson 3. Listen to the science. COVID-19 made it more important than ever to ask for evidence, to follow the data. But we must also be wary of how science is being used by politicians and corporations. We saw vastly different political strategies to tackle COVID-19, all claiming to be following expert scientific advice. This is nothing new. When Rachel Carson built her scientific case against the harmful use of herbicides and pesticides in agriculture, eloquently captured in her book Silent Spring, the agrochemical industry wheeled out their scientific counter-experts. Big tobacco and big oil have done the same. So yes, in a crisis we should support science-based decisions, but also remain vigilant about vested interests. Lesson 4. Pivot to live it. As the pandemic started to turn our lives upside down, adaptation became the new mantra. Pivoting means rapidly changing tactics, heading in a different direction, or adopting new strategies, and it goes as much for individuals and companies as for governments and social movements. Typically, millennials and Gen Z are more adept at such swift adaptation, as we saw with the Fridays for the Future climate protests that pivoted to digital strike and climate strike online, urged on by their uber-resilient leader, Greta Thunberg. In Asia, they began rapidly redirecting their energies to filing lawsuits. Whatever the crisis, adaptation is the key to survival. Lesson 5. Make moral choices. The pandemic called for moral duty to triumph over political expedience or commercial interests. In 1807, when the British Parliament abolished slavery throughout its empire, it was a decision based on morality, not economic benefits or national populism. We faced a similar watershed moment with COVID-19, and we continue to face moral choices with the climate emergency and other crises. Will our politicians put the health of their citizens and the planet ahead of economic risks and political gains? Will our business leaders prioritize employee welfare and ecological integrity over profits? Will our scientists and professionals embrace open collaboration across boundaries? Will each of us make personal sacrifices for the common good? Morality is always a choice. We need to choose what's right. Lesson 6. Imagine multiple futures. How will the COVID-19 pandemic play out? Or the next global shock, for that matter? For a long time, we couldn't be sure. Crises are extremely complex, and the situation can change day by day. That's perfect territory for scenarios. I was reminded of this by scenario strategist and co-author of my first book, Clem Sumter. During the first months of the pandemic, he sent me his scenarios for the pandemic. Much Ado About Nothing was the first one. In other words, everyone is overreacting. The Camel's Straw was the second. Triggers for a global recession. Spain Again, a repeat of the Spanish flu pandemic, was the third. And Tightrope, the delicate balancing act between preserving lives and livelihoods. Scenarios, unlike forecasts, allow us to imagine, simulate, and prepare for different outcomes, adjusting as the future unfolds. Lesson 7. Understand exponential growth. COVID-19 is finally teaching us the nature of exponential growth. It's a painful lesson, but a necessary one. In essence, it's about how exponential change, such as the number of new COVID-19 cases or deaths from the pandemic, seems slow at first and then accelerates. The ecological impacts of economic growth over the past 50 years have the same devastating viral curves. Viewed from the Earth's perspective, humans are the out-of-control virus. Exponential growth in a finite system is unsustainable, period. But remember, solutions for the pandemic and the sustainability crisis can also spread virally. Lesson 8. Watch for tipping points. The COVID-19 crisis started to push us towards several positive tipping points. One is the reclamation of space in cities for pedestrians and cyclists. Many cities in Europe, from Milan to Brussels, used the pandemic to accelerate plans to get more cars off the roads, while New York began phasing in 100 miles of car-free streets. Delivery robots and drones are another trend that will likely advance much more quickly because of the virus. And virtual meetings, conferences, and classrooms have been pressure tested as never before, forcing technology improvements and behavior changes that nudge us towards more climate-wise choices post-pandemic. Lesson 9. Know that extreme change is possible. Humans are nothing if not adaptable. In fact, socio-cultural adaptation is probably our evolutionary edge as a species. During COVID-19, we saw adaptation in action every day. Individuals and families adapting to lockdown with modified social behavior. Companies and industries adapting to shuttered workplaces and disrupted value chains with creativity and solidarity, including many reinventing their production lines to provide vital healthcare goods. And governments adapting with Herculean efforts to support health services and launch economic rescue packages. Post-pandemic, we emerge with the powerful new knowledge that extreme adaptation is possible. Lesson 10. Transformation is always multi-level. The COVID-19 pandemic taught us what transformation looks like during a crisis. Here are 6 signposts, which you will spot throughout this season of the podcast. 1. Be resilient. Do what it takes to survive. Pivot, adapt, bounce back. 2. Be inclusive. Help the most vulnerable. Volunteer, donate, pool resources. 3. Be frugal. Find ways to do more with less. Reuse, recycle, go circular. 4. Be be connected, use technology to increase communication, work remotely, check in, share solutions. 5, be healthy, put people's well-being first, exercise, de-stress, allow recovery. 6, be systemic, remember the bigger picture, embrace complexity, tackle root causes, invest for the long term. Moving through the tangled maze. With these 10 lessons in systems thinking safely stashed in our backpacks, along with the 6 keys to thriving that we picked up in the last few episodes, we are ready to begin our climb from the dark valleys of breakdown to the heady heights of thriving. Let's think of them as our vital kit of water bottles, energy bars, warm clothes, fire starters, and first aid essentials. They will not flatten the steep slopes that lie ahead or relieve us of the considerable effort of our great ascent, but they will ensure that we are ready to take on the elements, that our strenuous hike will be more doable, and that the summit will seem less distant. Knowing that we are all in this together, connected and determined to succeed, we are ready to embrace the complexity of what lies ahead. Complexity. We're moving through the tangled maze, connecting and reflecting. We're weaving on our loom of days, creating and remaking. The map is never true or clear, the path is never straight, and yet a pattern will appear for we who watch and wait. We're surfing on the waves of change, trusting and adjusting. We're dancing through the halls of strange, twirling and unfurling. The music beat can always shift, the tides will ebb and flow, and yet a movement will emerge to take us where we need to go. Well, that's it for this time. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll join me again next time when the story of thriving continues. Just a reminder that if you don't yet have your copy of Thriving, you can get it at any retailer as an ebook, an audiobook, or a hardback. You may also be interested in the Thriving podcast, where I speak with various thinkers and practitioners of thriving and regeneration. You can find that by searching on your favorite podcast platform for Thriving the Breakthrough Movement. And finally, you might be interested in becoming a Thriving facilitator. If that sounds interesting to you, then do reach out and I can send you more information, or you can find it on my website, wayneviscer.com. That's it for now, and we'll see you again next time. Hope you have a wonderful week.